What a day this cattle market has had, and that's where we're going to dive in with this limit down trade action. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Ross Baldwin joins us today with agmarket.net, and let's just talk about this huge drop in the cattle market. A cattle on feed report came out on Friday, but then that news about Tyson closing their Lexington, Nebraska facility and going down to one shift in Amarillo, Texas, that was just like the perfect storm to rock this market.
Hey, Susan, correct. It's been an extremely ugly day across the cattle markets, which coming out of the announcement on Friday afternoon, most of us expected this was what we were going to see, was a limit down trade just as a result of Tyson's announcement that they were closing the Lexington, Nebraska plant. The plant's it's scheduled to close here, I believe, the end of January, around January 20th is when that date is. And like you alluded to, we had the cattle on feed report on Friday. And the cattle on feed report was friendly. On feed was 97.9, which was right in line with guesses. The placements was 90% versus 92.2. And marketing's was right in line with the guesses at 92 versus 92.5. And the placements is the big number that remains friendly. And, you know, one of the largest impacts that continues to drive that placements number is the U.S.-Mexico border that remains closed and the impact that that's having, especially in the south, on Texas placements. This placement number was actually, I believe, the lowest since the cattle on feed series began in 96. So the cattle on feed report was friendly, but none of that matters. You just throw all that out the window when you get an announcement like we did where a major packing plant is going to be closed down. It's just it's too much to shake off for this market.
Is that something this market is going to be able to move past in the days to come, or is it just going to kind of haunt them as we continue on in a shortened holiday week?
I think it's for sure going to haunt the market, especially just as we continue to head through this cycle. I've been under the impression or the opinion over the last month or so that the highs were in. And I've told a lot of cattle producers I work with that if you're a producer, you need to be mindful that the highs are likely in and go about business with that thought process. Just the blow off highs that we had, you know, I mean, April live cattle got up to 250 and you had feeder cattle get up to 380. I mean, those were absolutely nosebleed levels, but the way this thing has unraveled in the speed and velocity of it has been more than anyone thought. I mean, once Trump essentially started going after beef prices and went after the cattle industry to start with, before he changed course here a couple weeks ago and went after the packing industry, it set that ball in motion to where you started getting a lot of negative thoughts towards the cattle industry, or negative rhetoric is what I should say, towards the cattle industry. And that snowball has just started building, where over the last, you could say, 1 to 2 years, it's been a steady stream of bullish news. And bulls need fed every day. And once this thing started shifting here 30 days ago, the snowball has started to get bigger and bigger. And then you throw in there's been a, you know, really a steady stream of chatter around the U.S.-Mexico border and the USDA. You know, they haven't came out and said they're going to reopen it yet, but they're starting to, I would say, show signs of being more comfortable with it around, you know, working with the Mexican officials and, you know, the new sterile fly facilities. And so that continues to hang out here. And so in the big picture, I do think we'll price this in, this Lexington news. You know, the markets always do. We go price any headline risk in like this or headline news. We go price in as fast as we can. So I do think we'll have it priced in here, you know, within the next week or so. But in the big picture, I don't think the market's going to be able to overcome that in the sense that we're not going to go back to those nosebleed highs that we were at. I mean, it's just the market knows that this is definitely a fundamental shift at this point in the cattle cycle that there's probably no need to go back to prices like that. There will be rallies along the way, but those rallies will probably be sold, just like we've seen since the cattle market has sold off. I mean, there's been a few rallies, I mean, you know, over the last month, you can call it, but they have largely been sold.
Well, Ross, we knew that elevator would come down pretty fast on this cattle market. I just don't think we thought it was going to be this fast.
No. And you know, we always say, I mean, markets definitely sell off faster than they ever rally. And that's because obviously you throw in the emotional aspect of panic. And at that point, people, you just want out. But this sell-off has been unlike anything that any of us could have predicted. I mean, like I said, I've already, you know, said it once, but it started with the sitting U.S. president going after really ranchers. I mean, ranchers and livestock producers with his first, you know, Trump's first comments around you need to lower your prices. And unfortunately, those of us in the cattle industry, I'm a cattle producer myself. We all know we're price takers out here. We're not price makers. So that didn't sit well with a lot of us. But once the we just haven't seen a sitting U.S. president go after one sector of ag the way Trump did here. And it just started this crescendo effect. And once that started, you know, you started throwing in aspects. I mean, you know, right before the Lexington news, we saw that they removed the 50% tariffs on Brazil. They actually slowly took it down 10%. Trump's, you know, 50% tariff, they took it to 40%. And then here last week, they took them from 40 to 0% on certain commodities, but beef being one of them. And so, I mean, that was a negative dagger. On top of, you know, we've obviously got huge weights going on across the industry. We've seen the cash trade really start to unravel here over the last few weeks as there's, you know, bigger numbers in the north. We all know that. But the market's been struggling, but you just throw in some of this you know, negative news and then the Lexington news. I mean, that's really the final nail in the coffin, I mean, of all of this, you know, negative news that we've seen. I mean, the last piece of news that remains out here, the big bearish news, would be, you know, the U.S.-Mexico border, which I think that's only a matter of time before we see that opened up. And honestly, some people I talk to across the industry, it's like, you know what, we know that is going to be negative when it does open up. But with everything that's transpired here recently, we've got all this negative news really starting to get priced in. We might as well get that border announcement out of the way, too, and just, you know, see where it's going to go, given the size of the sell-off, and see what kind of floor that we can eventually get to start to build off of. But, I mean, for right now, it's just it's obviously been tough sledding, and I fear it's going to continue to be tough sledding here over the next several months for the cattle industry.
And just on the flip side of that, nothing exciting in this grain complex today. I mean, Ross, you look at it, it's very quiet, except for the news of some more Chinese sales this morning.
Correct. We did see an announcement that China bought some more U.S. soybeans on a flash sale. But aside from that, I mean, it's for as lively as the cattle markets are, it's the grain markets don't even really have much of a pulse here. December corn's a penny and a half lower. First notice today is Friday on the December contract. So anyone that's out there that's still in the December contracts want to be out of those on Wednesday's close with first notice day being on Friday. But yeah, March corn's a penny lower right now. And over in the soybean markets, I mean, Jan beans are unchanged. March is down a penny. Back months are up a little bit, but just very quiet. Wheat's down a little bit more. You got Kansas City down 2 to 2.5 cents. Chicago down 4 cents. But, I mean, very quiet. Just not much to talk about. And honestly, outside of South American weather, there's just not going to be a lot to talk about in the grain markets, especially corn, until the Jan-Wazi. So, I mean, we've got a month and a half of that. There's just not going to be a lot to talk about in the corn market. Beans. It's mainly South American weather. And there's been some spots, you know, in Argentina, Buenos Aires area that have been on the drier side of things. But there is some moisture being forecast for South America. So given the size of the rally that the bean market had here recently, you know, when we, you know, started here mid-October and went on that big rally, you know, they've got quite a bit of premium, I would say, priced into that. You know, whether that was, you know, the U.S.-China stuff. I mean, obviously, China had already been buying beans that we weren't able to see with the government shutdown, but you know, a fair amount of that's been priced in. There's still plenty of beans in the world, so when, you know, Jan beans got up to almost 1170, I think it was, I mean, it was probably high enough prices for right now. So I expect these markets, outside of a big South American weather problem over the next month and a half, I expect these markets to be pretty choppy, and I could see them have more of a downward bias. But you know, just until we get fed some new information in that Jan report.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks so much. Ross Baldwin joining us today with AgMarket.net. And a quick reminder that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That is the Monday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.